Whether you're shopping for grads, getting an early gift for dad, or just looking for a little something new or used for your shelf, you'll find it at HPB. And you'll get almost everything for an extra 20% off during the big sale at Half Price Books this Memorial Day weekend. Saturday, May 25th through Monday, May 27th, save big in-store at your local Half Price Books and at HPB.com. Offer cannot be combined with other coupons. Exclusions apply. To learn more, visit HPB.com.
Skip the waiting room. TireRack.com now offers convenient mobile tire installation in select areas. Simply shop TireRack.com for your next set of tires, and at checkout, choose Tire Rack Mobile Tire Installation. An expertly trained technician will arrive with your tires and install them on site, at home, at the office, wherever you are. You'll spend less time waiting and more time doing the things you enjoy. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Hello and welcome back to Highway to Hoover, a production of SEC Extra over at D1Baseball.com. I'm your host, Joe Healy, joined today by my good friend Matt Jones of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette and WholeHogSports.com. We're going to talk about the scalding hot Arkansas Razorbacks, which over the weekend pushed their SEC record to 11-1, which is tied for tops in the SEC with, you guessed it, Kentucky, just like we all envisioned. But Arkansas playing really, really good baseball this season. I saw it with my own eyes a couple of weekends ago at Baum Walker. We will get into everything going on with the Razorbacks this season here in just a minute. But first, I have to let you know that this episode of Howie to Hoover and every episode of Howie to Hoover is brought to you by PitchLogic, the system used by players, coaches, scouts, and instructors at all levels of play, from youth leagues to the big leagues. The easy-to-use and affordable technology makes the platform accessible to every player at every level. All the metrics and features used at the highest level. See pitchlogic.com for more information. First off, Matt, I appreciate you joining me today on in a period of time when you're kind of on John Calipari watch. So I appreciate you carving out a little bit of time for baseball.
Hey, appreciate it. No, we're never too busy to talk about Razorback baseball around here.
Yeah, especially when the team is playing as well as it is. Like I mentioned, 11-1 in SEC play. I know I talked to a decent number of fans when I was in Fayetteville a couple weekends ago who were saying things like, I don't want to jinx it, but man, this season sure has a special feel to it. So I know there's a lot of excitement out there about that. Let's start with the obvious place, and that's with Hagan Smith. And I'm curious if you've, at this point, run out of ways to describe his excellence so far this season.
Yeah, I mean, it's we were talking about it the other day. It's kind of like Hagan Smith, you know, you look down and all of a sudden he's giving you his six innings and his no runs and his 11 strikeouts. And it's like, okay, well, you know, he did what he kind of does. And what's interesting to me is how it started for him this year. He had a really bad outing against James Madison in week one, real cold day here in Fayetteville. I think the wind chill was probably about 25 degrees when he took the mound, and it just didn't go well for him. It was cold, didn't have feel for the ball. And I don't know. I knew that he would bounce back pretty well because we had seen him pitch, you know, in the preseason, and he was electric. I couldn't have predicted what he did against Oregon State, though. I mean, I don't think anybody could. The 17 strikeouts out of 18 outs in that game down in Arlington, that just really set the tone for what he's done the rest of the year. The fastball is phenomenal. The slider, you know, I've talked to some baseball people around here, and they say that slider is just unhittable if you're a left-handed batter. And what we've seen from him, I think, the last couple of weeks is that he's starting to get a little bit more feel for this splitter that he's throwing too. So early in the year, he was using the slider for most of his strike three. So say like against Oregon State, 15 of his 17 strikeouts, strike three was a slider and the other two were on fastballs. Now we're starting to see him go to the splitter a little bit more in two strike counts. And he's been phenomenal. I can't think of another pitcher who's been any better this year. If you would have asked me 2 weeks ago, I would have told you, you know, it was between he and Luke Coleman for pitcher of the year. But then seeing the two of them pitch back-to-back nights kind of with my own eyes and just seeing, and it's one outing for Holman, I understand that. But, you know, just based on those two nights, it looked like Hagan was a little bit of a cut above even Holman. And I just think he's been phenomenal this year. And I'd probably put him in the top three or four right now for the Golden Spikes Award.
Yeah, he's definitely in that mix. I think your eyes don't deceive you. I mean, Luke Holman having a really nice year has been really good for LSU. But Hagan Smith is just on it in terms of the dominance. You know, he it doesn't matter who's in the box. Like, it's just, you understand that he's got the advantage in every at bat that takes place. So I think your eyes are correct in that he's just on a different, totally different level. And speaking of guys who've been a little bit of a different level, if the story on the pitching staff is not Hagan Smith, and it is, but if it wasn't, it's Will McIntyre, who has the guy who has been a nice piece for this team the last handful of years, really versatile, do a lot of things. He's pitched in big games, but always felt like just an extra piece, a depth piece. But now, fast forward, and any conversation about the best relievers in the SEC probably has to start with Will McIntyre. No disrespect to anybody else. What, to the extent you could tell, I mean, what has been behind him making this leap?
Well, the cutter. The cutter is his go-to pitch right now, and it's always been a good pitch for him, but it's just got more bite on it this year, and it's we saw the hitters struggle with it in the preseason, and they knew it was coming, and, you know, they had seen it before. And then when you get, you know, batters from the other teams who haven't seen that pitch before standing in against it, you know, they're having a hard time with it. He's electric the first time out on the weekend. The second time out, he's pretty good. This, you know, I'm always cautious to make a comparison like this, but I'm getting Kevin Copps vibes from Will McIntyre when he comes in, because he's pitching twice on the weekend. He's an older pitcher. The cutter is his go-to pitch. In fact, Will said on a broadcast a week or so ago that he and Kevin worked on that pitch together a little bit during the offseason. Copps was back in town doing some workouts, and they had some conversations about it. They're friends. They were teammates with each other for a couple of years. And, you know, it's just like, you know, when Will's theme music hits, so to speak, his walkout music from the bullpen, there's a little bit of a buzz that goes through the stadium now. And, you know, you feel good if you're an Arkansas fan that you're about to close this thing out because you got your guy on the mound against Ole Miss last Sunday or last Saturday, game three of the Ole Miss series. Ole Miss had the tying run at the plate. They had, I think, their two best hitters due up. It was their 3- and 4-hole hitters. And McIntyre, let me go back. He gave up a hit to the 2-hole hitter, and then 3- and 4-hole hitters, he retired them, and the game was over, and that was with the tying run at the plate. You just have a confidence, I think, in Will to do the job. Like you said, Hagan's the story of this team because he's, you know, the numbers that he's putting up in a starting role are phenomenal. But if you look at the lowest whip on the team, it's Will McIntyre. You know, Will's strikeout per 9 innings, they're not going to catch up to Hagan, but they're pretty darn good. I think they're somewhere in like the 13 to 14 range per 9 right now. He pitched against LSU when you were here, Joe, and he struck out all 8 of the hitters he faced, I think, all 8 of the outs that he got were strikeouts. I think he gave up a walk or a hit in there. But he's been phenomenal, and he's quite the weapon to have on the back end. And to stand out in this bullpen is saying something, because they got a lot of tools to work with in the bullpen.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. Is the depth such that there are actually instances where there are guys who just need some work, right? I mean, like that things are going so well that you have to use midweek games or maybe games where you have a comfortable lead to actually get some guys in who just honestly just need to get on the mound.
Yeah, what they're doing is they're beating teams so bad on Tuesday nights right now that they're run rolling them. And I don't know that they're getting the pitchers quite the amount of work that they want to get them on Tuesday nights. Now, this week, weather permitting, they're going to play San Jose State twice. They'll play Texas Tech twice next week. They'll play Missouri State twice in a few weeks. And so they've got some Tuesday, Wednesday opportunities coming up that they haven't had this year. They haven't had a 5-game week yet to this point. And, you know, so that'll help. It'll help get, you know, some of these pitchers some work who maybe they get 2 or 3 innings, whereas they've been getting 2 or 3 outs. So that'll help them a lot. And it'll really tell us a lot, too, I think, about this pitching staff. Everything we've seen about them right now is that, hey, they're really good. But how do they look in a little bit different role? I'm interested to see that with them as they play some of these 5-game weeks coming up. The pitching depth is as good as I've ever seen here at Arkansas. This is my 16th year covering the team. They had a team in 2013 that had a 1.89 ERA. Now, that was pitching, you know, in kind of the dead bat era. But that team had a ton of big league pitchers on it. Ryan Stanek, Jalen Beeks. You go on and on. Barrett Ashton was on that team. A lot of really good college pitchers who just, you know, weren't pro prospects, but they were locked down college pitchers. They had the lowest ERA in college baseball in like 37 years that year. And I think this staff's deeper than that staff. And I don't know that I ever thought I would see a staff quite that deep again.
Yeah, just to put some numbers on that, a 2.83 ERA in SEC play so far, which in this offensive environment is incredible. You just don't see that kind of stuff anymore. Last question on the mound. The last several weeks have been shorter starts for Mason Molina and Brady Tiger. Is that maybe a function more of, hey, we don't need to stretch these guys because let's just take them out a little early versus a little late? Or do you see some backsliding there from those guys? To what do you attribute the fact that those guys have had some shorter outings and maybe haven't been as crisp as they were earlier this season?
Yeah, I think it's efficiency. I mean, they're getting into a lot of three ball counts and, you know, in some instances, walking players too much. Tigert's really had trouble hitting batters this year. I think he ranks first or second in the SEC right now in hit batsmen. And then with Tigert last weekend too, when they played Ole Miss and he started game three, he had been sick the day before. And so I think that, you know, there was probably some thought, hey, let's not stretch him out if he's not feeling 100%. You know, he gutted through it and gave him what he could. And he actually looked better last week. His command was a lot better last week. It's just Ole Miss hit him more than some of the teams that they played in the past. So yeah, I mean, they're not quite, they haven't hit their stride yet as a rotation, I don't think. Hagan is, like I said, he's going to give you his six or seven innings on Friday night. I think he could probably give them more in most instances, but Van Horn is real, he's real cognizant, I think, of if I throw an inning here, that could be an inning I don't get out of this pitcher somewhere down the road in a regional, a super regional, a College World Series. And so he's very cautious, I think, with his starters. You know, hey, maybe they got 20 or 30 more pitches in them, but there's really no use to use that. You know, to your point, part of that probably has to do with the bullpen that they have behind them. They got a lot of fresh arms who are eager to get work. But yeah, it's Molina and Tiger, they're effective. I think a term that I've heard the coaches use quite a bit is effectively wild. And you know, we're still kind of waiting to see both of them hit their stride. Molina's had some really nice outings. Tiger had some nice outings in the preseason or in the non-conference, even against Missouri in his first conference game. But the last few weeks have been a little bit of a struggle for him, mainly because his command has been a little bit off.
Hey everyone, we're going to take a quick break from our discussion to hear a couple ads from our sponsors.
Whether you're shopping for grads, getting an early gift for dad, or just looking for a little something new or used for your shelf, you'll find it at HPB. And you'll get almost everything for an extra 20% off during the big sale at Half Price Books this Memorial Day weekend. Saturday, May 25th through Monday, May 27th, save big in-store at your local Half Price Books and at HPB.com. Offer cannot be combined with other coupons. Exclusions apply. To learn more, visit HPB.com.
Skip the waiting room. TireRack.com now offers convenient mobile tire installation in select areas. Simply shop TireRack.com for your next set of tires, and at checkout, choose Tire Rack Mobile Tire Installation. An expertly trained technician will arrive with your tires and install them on site, at home, at the office, wherever you are. You'll spend less time waiting and more time doing the things you enjoy. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Hey guys, Conan O'Brien here to tell you about some of the stranger things we've been doing recently on my podcast, Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. Recently, we had an episode where I sat down with some of the writers that I worked with on Conan O'Brien Must Go. That's my travel show on Max. And we talked about everything that goes into those shows and a lot of very insane anecdotes from our travels and adventures. There's another episode you might want to check out where I discuss with my physician, Dr. Arroyo, about my experience on Hot Ones. We talk about my near-death experience and his complete inability to help me because he may or may not be a real doctor. That's just some of the stuff that's been going on, and if you feel up to it, check it out. So catch up on all things I've been up to on Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, wherever you get your podcasts.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Switching to the lineup, how much of a pick-me-up has it been to get Peyton Stovall back and healthy and swinging the bat?
It's been the biggest. It's been the biggest key, I think, to this run that they're on right now. They expected him to be their leadoff hitter this year. Missed the first, I'd say, 3 or 4 weeks. He broke his foot. Then you got to remember about Peyton Stovall is that he had a torn labrum last year that caused him to miss the final 20 games or so. And he just had gotten cleared from the rehab on the torn labrum late December. I think it was December 23rd, and then February 5th rolls around and they're practicing, they're scrimmaging at bomb, and a pitch hits him in the foot and breaks a bone in his foot, and he's out for another month. And so that was a tough deal, but he's just so eager to play. The last 2 years have not been what was expected out of Peyton Stovall. He was a 295 hitter, I think, his freshman year. It was down last year. I think part of that probably had to do with the fact that he played with that labrum tear for a while before they really figured out what was going on with him. And so he's so happy, I think, to be out there. And there's I think that makes a big difference when you're playing baseball, is when you're just appreciative, you've had it taken away from you. And he did for a little bit. And boy, he's been a spark offensively, but not just offensively, defensively, he's been awesome. He hasn't committed an error yet at second base. And he's had a lot of, he's had a lot of chances to do that. One thing, Bubba Carpenter's does a podcast with me, and he's the analyst for the Razorback Sports Network, played in the big leagues for a while. And he was talking to me the other day about just the route that Stovall takes to the ball at second base. He said the only second baseman he's ever seen at Arkansas do it as cleanly was Robert Moore, who preceded, Peyton in that position. And they played for a year together. Peyton played first base in Moore's last year at Arkansas when he was at second. But he takes a route to the ball that makes it a more efficient throw at first. He just surrounds the ball. And it looks like a next level second baseman. Don't know if he'll ever make the big leagues, but the chatter was there when he was coming out of high school. He was considered to be the number one or two hitter, I think, in his high school class, and hasn't shown up the first 2 years. It's showing up right now. I feel like the last 3 weeks, offensively and defensively, we're starting to see the Peyton Stovall that everybody thought Arkansas was getting when he signed here. It's just taking a little bit longer for him to get to that point, but he's been a real spark offensively. The thing that stands out to me is that their offensive numbers have kind of remained steady since he got in, but the level of pitching that they're playing has improved greatly because he didn't get into the lineup until right before SEC play began. And so that really, to me, that tells you a lot about the offensive production that they're getting with him in the lineup. And like I said, he's just been real key to it.
In a lineup that doesn't necessarily have a superstar, there's no Heston Kerstad in the lineup, right? Which is, there's no disrespect to the guys in there, but how important has the depth been? Because it strikes me that I was there in a weekend and Jack Wagner got a start, which hasn't happened a ton. Like Will Edmondson got a start, which, he averages about one a weekend. So how important has that depth been in a world where they're probably going to have to play some matchups to get their best lineup on the field?
Yeah, I think it's been extremely important. There's two terms that I think I would use for this team. One is the term respondability, just the ability to answer back when a team scores. They've been phenomenal at that. I would love to go back and look at just how many half innings they've been behind the other team, because it seems like as soon as somebody has a two-run inning, Arkansas comes right back with a two- or three-run inning or a five-run inning or a seven-run inning. I mean, it's almost uncanny. And if it doesn't happen in the next half inning, a lot of times it happens in the half inning after that. They just haven't been behind a whole lot this year. And I think that makes a big difference. It really keeps the pressure on the other team, their ability to answer back. But the term team, I mean, this is just a team. There, like you said, there's not that one star. There's not that one guy that if he goes down, you say, oh, no, the season may be in trouble because you don't have that three or four hole hitter who's, contributing 30% of your RBI hits. They're a really solid team right now. Nolan Souza is a great example of this. He doesn't get in the lineup, but maybe every other game, maybe every third game. And when he gets in the lineup, he's their best hitter. He's got their highest batting average right now. He's the freshman of the week. Last week, he had a grand slam against Arkansas State. Came in a pinch roll, hit roll against Ole Miss one night, got one at bat, and then the next day he's in the starting lineup because Ole Miss is starting a right-handed pitcher, and all he does is go 3 for 5 with 5 RBI. Every hit that he had was an RBI hit, and people will point to the 2 home runs that he had against Ole Miss. The biggest hit that I thought he had, it's a 2-2 game. I think it's a 2-strike, 2-out pitch. They've got the shift on him, and he hits it right where they're not. A shift beating single back the opposite way. And to me, that's the mark of a really, really great hitter. But, you know, I mean, you could go on and on. You know, you mentioned Jack Wagner. He's had a couple of moments that have been real big for this team. And really this run Arkansas has been on, not just this year, the last few years, I think it's primarily because of their depth on their bench. There have been so many instances that I can think of. I'll go back to last year when they beat LSU in Baton Rouge. They had Reese Robinette hit a 3-run home run in the 10th inning in a pinch hit role. They beat Texas A&M here on a Friday night, and they had a left fielder who barely played any other games, but he was in that night because of some injuries, named Hunter Grimes, who threw out a runner at home plate in the 7th inning, and it was a huge play in that game. Those are huge plays when you're talking about a loss here is the difference between being first or second place in the SEC. And I see that again with this team. Their depth is just outstanding off the bench. And like you said, there's not that one player. You don't know who it's going to be every day you come to the ballpark, but you've got a pretty good feel that somebody's going to step up and make a really big play for them.
My last thing for you relatedly is, you know, I've talked to some folks who have a little bit of nerves about the idea that, you know, this team gets into a regional or more likely a super or to Omaha, and there are just going to be arms that are going to be able to deal with the offense. And, you know, are they going to be able to win all these close games? And that might be the team's undoing. Now, I've tended to kind of poo-poo that because I think the lineup's better than the numbers show and that the pitching is just so good that if it stays healthy, it probably won't matter. But what say Matt Jones about that concern, which I've heard voiced from Razorback fans this season, that when it push comes to shove, there just might not be enough offense?
I mean, I think it's valid. But then again, we've also seen them. They've hit the other team's top pitcher more often than not. I mean, I thought they had a good approach against Luke Holman from LSU. That's the best pitcher they've faced. And, you know, like I said earlier, he's probably right there with Hagen Smith right now for National Pitcher of the Year. I thought they hit him well. They just seem like it may not go well for them the first time through the lineup, but it seems like once they've seen you once or especially twice, they're going to get you more often than not. And so to me, it's a matter of, you know, driving up pitch counts, taking walks, you know, just making that pitcher uncomfortable. The one time that I've seen them really struggle was in, I think it was the opener, maybe it was game 2 against Ole Miss. They all kind of run together at this point. But Ole Miss had a guy, he'd thrown 55 pitches in 5 innings. And it was like, this does not look like what we've seen from Arkansas offensively this year. They're last in the SEC by a good bit in striking out. They're one of the top walk teams in the SEC. Dave Van Horn was talking a week or so ago. He said he's given the take sign more to this team than maybe he's given to his last 20 teams combined. And it's working for them. You know, they're really taking walks. They're driving pitch counts up. And so, you know, my opinion is once they get in a regional or a super regional, it's going to be really hard to get ahead of them 1-0 with Hagen Smith on the mound unless he has a really bad day like he did against TCU last year in the regional. But I also think that that outing might be driving him a little bit this year because it went so poorly for him. I just think they're an awfully good team. Like I said earlier, I think they find ways to win. And when you can pitch like they do, not going to take a whole lot of runs to beat the other teams a lot of nights. And that's really what we've seen through SEC play at this point.
Yeah, me and my colleague Mike Rooney have a phrase that we like to run out, which is that winning is a skill, and it's a skill that Arkansas has seemed to perfect. Not, you know, more generally during the Dave Van Horn era, but certainly the last several years. I share your sentiment that they have what I call a Paul Skeens rule, which is just that you go into every series basically up 1-0 in the series because you've got Hagen Smith on the mound the same way LSU had Skeens last year. And that certainly helps. So I'm with you generally. This is a team. They find ways to win. Will the offense look a little bit rough? Sure. But like, I think that's also just doing business in the SEC. So That is what it is. Matt, I appreciate you joining us today. I will let you run to get back on John Calipari introduction watch, but I appreciate you taking some time for me today.
Okay. Appreciate it, Joe. We'll see you.
Matt Jones, Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Read all of his work at wholehogsports.com. One of the absolute very best college baseball beat writers out there doing it. Does an extremely thorough job covering Razorbacks baseball. So we appreciate having him on every year. It's been 2 years, but that's every year, two for two. So check out all of his work at wholehogsports.com. That is going to do it for this edition of the Highway to Hoover podcast, a production of SEC Extra over at d1baseball.com. I want to thank PitchLogic for sponsoring this and every episode of Highway to Hoover. Thank Matt Jones again for joining me, and thank you, the listeners, for listening. We'll talk to y'all soon.
The Highway to Hoover podcast is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcasts.
Whether you're shopping for grads, getting an early gift for dad, or just looking for a little something new or used for your shelf, you'll find it at HPB. And you'll get almost everything for an extra 20% off during the big sale at Half Price Books this Memorial Day weekend. Saturday, May 25th through Monday, May 27th, save big in-store at your local Half Price Books and at HPB.com. Offer cannot be combined with other coupons. Exclusions apply. To learn more, visit HPB.com.
Buying a Master Mechanics tool set usually means high prices, higher interest rates, and who knows how many years of monthly payments. But at GearWrench, we don't believe that your tools should take years and years to pay for. So check out Mega Mod Master Sets, the Master Mechanics tool sets that deliver pro-quality tools, organized storage solutions, an easy-to-use lifetime warranty, and much, much more. All for thousands less than you'd expect. So don't wait. Explore the sets and check availability now. Only at GearWrench.com.